Heavenly Father, as we open your word together this morning, we pray that we would know the presence of your Holy Spirit here in our midst, that each and every one of us would tune our ear to hear what the Holy Spirit would say to us today, what it is that we need to hear, what you know that we need to hear, may we hear, and may we respond to you with hearts that love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Another one of my favorite Christmas carols is "Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence." You say, oh, haven't heard that in a long time. Well, I can tell you why. It's almost impossible to sing it as a congregation. You need a choir to do that one. It was written in the 5th century. It's very contemplative, but it's a very meaningful Christmas carol. The author must have written these words picturing himself as a silent observer of heaven and earth at the condescension of Christ from heaven to Bethlehem. I want you just to sort of take that heavenly view, standing kind of at Bethlehem, seeing what's happening there, and yet being in the throne room of heaven at the same time, and just listen to these words. Let all mortal flesh keep silence, and with fear and trembling stand. Ponder nothing earthly minded, for with blessings in his hand, Christ our God to earth descendeth, our full homage to demand. King of kings, yet born of Mary, as of old on earth he stood, Lord of lords in human vesture, in the body and the blood. He will give to all the faithful his own self for heavenly food. Rank on rank, the host of heaven spreads its vanguard on the way, as the light of light descendeth from the realms of endless day, that the powers of hell may vanish as the darkness clears away. At his feet, the six-winged seraph, cherubim with sleepless eye, veil their faces to the presence as with ceaseless voice they cry, Alleluia, 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 Lord Most High. And we join the heavenly hosts in our hearts, Alleluia, Alleluia, Lord Most High. Yet we sing, if we were singing it, with one marked difference. All the songs we sing as those he came to redeem. We sing and worship from redeemed hearts that know sins forgiven and the very presence of God dwelling within. No angel can sing as we do, as sweet as they can, and sometimes as unsweet as we can, right? Right? We struggle sometimes with our voices and et cetera, but that's not what God is listening to. God is listening to what comes from the heart. No angel can sing with the joy that we can sing. The angels sing in his glorious presence. They worship and cry, holy, 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 as they circle the throne. They observe and at his bidding engage in the divine activity as the plan of salvation moves forward and cry out in wonder and acknowledgement, Alleluia, 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 Lord Most High. God, present with us. Emmanuel, God with us, now with man residing. Here's the wonder. The one who created the heavens and all that is contained within the universe with its wonders and beauty. The earth with all of the glories of his handiwork reminds me of the song, I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The sun, the moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey. Amen? Yeah. And as magnificent as the wonders of creation are as they declare the glory of God, the Bible tells us that the crowning act of God's creative activity isn't found in nature, isn't found in the wonders of the universe. It is found in his creation of mankind, men and women, that we see all over again when a little one is born, made in his image. Every race and tribe and color created equal by God, created to have a relationship with the God of heaven, created to be in relationship with the God of heaven. This is his crowning act in creation. You and me. Go like this. Wow. Wow. So whenever you're kind of thinking you're down on yourself, give yourself a kick, because God isn't. Right? Right? Do I have the lights turned down too low or something this morning? Right? Right on. In the midst of the everydayness of life, including the routine and the mundane, because there are those things, there is still, if you cultivate it, the joy and the wonder of what God has created for us and what he has created us for, or I should more properly say, who he has created us for, himself. Never lose the wonder, folks, of the fact that the God who created all of this is the one who stepped into our world to redeem us because he loves us with an everlasting love. The same God who created the universe and all that we see is the same one who stepped from his throne in heaven into our world as Emmanuel. God is with us. This name, Emmanuel, which Matthew refers to in his gospel, was first given to Jesus by the prophet Isaiah 700 years before his birth. And it's a very special Christmas name, as Matthew tells us that it means God with us. Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. But one of my points this morning is, it's not just at Christmas, it's every day. On Christmas Sunday, the message title was Emmanuel, God with us. Do you see the subtle difference in the message title this morning? It is, God is with us. In the first message, we looked at what Christ set aside in order to take on human flesh and become one with us. God walked with us in Christ. It was God who walked with us. It was God who talked with us in the human form of his Son, Christ Jesus. Today's message, Emmanuel, God is with us, is about his continuing presence in our lives and what that means to us. God is with us also means he is not against us. When you consider the majesty and the glory of creation, and even as you reflect on the spectacular events surrounding the birth of Jesus, it is easy to understand that God is above us, so far above us. His power is evident. He is greater and more powerful than anything or anyone we have ever known and anything and anyone who has ever existed. He is transcendent, is the word. He is above all. Then, when you read the Old Testament with its commands and the judgments of God, if you read it without the proper perspective, one might, as some have, come to believe that God is against us. You read that he commanded, but you also read that his people disobeyed, that judgment came, but then restoration followed. In the coming of Jesus, and through the life of Christ, and through the ministry of Christ, we see that God is with us, and God is for us. Jesus himself said, he came, meaning himself, he came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. And Jesus went to the cross, took our place, paid the price for us, and became our peace. Jesus rose again from the grave. We sung about that. Conquering forever the power of sin and its destructive force in our lives. We can live in the joy and freedom from sin every day. Amen? And today, the penalty of sin here and now is gone. The penalty of sin in the hereafter at the judgment seat is gone as well, because we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ if you've received his gift of salvation. But here's the point I want to make. Satan is the one who would have you believe that God is somehow against you. And sometimes Satan uses the events in our life to create that thinking in our heart. Maybe this past year has been a difficult year, challenging year. We've all had those. I can remember not too many years ago, someone at the last Sunday of the year said to me, "This year can't be over fast enough to suit me." It's been a bad year, right? And I had to stop and agree, because that year, like, was just that way. And this year, I've been amazed, just speaking of the weather, how, you know, most years December is dark and starts to get brighter into January. I think we've been enjoying January. In fact, I came in later last evening from a hospital visit that I was making, and I heard the crunch of the ice, if you will, on our driveway as I walked across it. And, you know, the grass that's around, this mild spell that we've been having. I walked in the door. I said to Joan, "Feels like syrup season." And it did, because it's exactly like what it's like in syrup season. But we know we're going to get more winter. But this year, December has been so different. It's been bright and almost cheery. But maybe that hasn't been your experience. Maybe Christmas season has been somewhat difficult. Maybe you've had experiences this year where you have thought that God has turned away from you. If so, I would suggest you take a look back to Bethlehem and know that God's desire is to have a relationship with you and to walk with you. In the manger, he extended his hand and his invitation for all who will to come. Maybe this past year you have done things that you knew were wrong, and they're weighing on you. Christmas proclaims God's desire to forgive and to make you a new person. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And that means women too, humankind. He came for you. Never get over the understanding of that. But maybe this has been a year of one struggle after another, and you feel as though God has opposed you. Know this. God's ways are higher than our ways. There are many things that we don't understand, but he knows. And he knows what our tomorrows are. And he knows what he is preparing us for. In spite of our whys, this we know, he is for us. He has a plan to work all things for our good and for his glory. Perhaps it's just possible, too, that God is trying to get your attention in a new way. Maybe he hasn't had your attention the way he would like. Perhaps God is trying to deepen your faith and get you to trust him just a little more, rather than trust your own devices and schemes. Know this: God loves you. He always has. He always will. In Christ, he reaches out and he leaves the next move up to us. Romans 8:28. Let's read it together. "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." One of my favorite verses, Jeremiah 29, we'll read verse 11 plus the verses that follow. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. God is with us, not against us. God is also with us rather than somewhere else. I heard a motivational speaker one time say, one of the things he said really stuck with me. It was this: wherever you are, be there. Think about that, right? Wherever you are, be there. Well, that's God. There is something that we can always count on: his presence. He cares. Cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. And the knowledge that he watches over us. He watches over me. He watches over you. I like the term watch care. We need to always be thankful for his watch care over us. The psalmist wrote, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore." Amen? Amen. We know that God is everywhere, but we're not always convinced that he is with us. He is, every day. Kenneth Hendren, in his book, In the Gun Sights, you know, what's a book like that about? It's about men of integrity. And in that book, he tells the story of Ira Sankey. Some of you know that Ira Sankey was a famous songwriter and a song leader. He traveled with D.L. Moody on the evangelistic campaigns. The Sankey Book of Songs was, it's about that thick. The print is so small, you need a magnifying glass, and they squeezed about 1,000 songs into that little song book. Ira Sankey was traveling on a steamer in the Delaware River when he was recognized by some passengers who had seen his picture in the newspaper and knew he was in the area and knew that he was associated with the evangelist D.L. Moody. And when they asked him to sing one of his own compositions, Sankey said that he preferred rather to sing the hymn by William Bradbury, "Savior, like a shepherd lead us, much we need thy tender care." He suggested that everyone join in with him in singing the song. One of the stanzas begins, "We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way." When he finished the song, a man stepped out of the shadows and asked him, "Mr. Sankey, were you in the army, meaning in the U.S. Civil War? Okay, were you in the army?" He said, "Yes, I joined up in 1860. "Were you on guard duty in Maryland at night in around 1862? "Yes, I did guard duty in Maryland in that time." The stranger said to him, "I was in the Confederate Army." Ira Sankey was in the Union Army. "I was in the Confederate Army. And I saw you one night at Sharpsburg on guard duty. I had you in my gun sight as you stood in the light of the full moon. And I was preparing to pull the trigger. And you began to sing, 'Savior, like a shepherd lead us. Much we need thy tender care.' And I couldn't pull the trigger." Wow. Be the guardian of our way. He is watching over us. God is watching over you. He's watching over me. And then, finally, God is with us. It means we are not alone. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. How bad can it get? Can't get much worse than that. Even then, God is our refuge and our strength. Regardless of what's happening in our lives, we can know that He is our refuge, our strength, and an ever-present help. Have you ever felt alone? Sure you have. Sometimes life can be terribly cold and lonely. The bitter winds of disappointment and pain that we experience from time to time can make us feel desperately alone. But in those times, especially in those times, remember the promise of Jesus. He said, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth, and that He will not leave us or forsake us, that He walks with us, that He holds our hand, that He comforts us, and that He is present with us. Here's what God has to say in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Let's read it together. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you and uphold you by my righteous right hand. So you may not always feel His presence. In fact, sometimes you may feel that God is not hearing your prayer and that heaven is silent. But rest on His promise and know this. He is, capital letters, He is with you. Leonard Sweet, in his book, Postmodern Pilgrims, shares this little story. I quote, today I visited a little girl dying of cancer. Her body was disfigured by her disease and its treatment. She was in constant pain. As I entered her room, I was overcome by her suffering, which seemed so unjust and unfair and unreasonable. Even more overpowering was the presence of her grandmother lying in bed beside her, with her huge body embracing this precious little 8-year-old. I stood in awe, knowing I was on holy ground. I will never forget the great, gentle arms of this grandmother. She never spoke, but simply held her granddaughter, participating in suffering that she could not relieve. No words could express the magnitude of her love. A holy moment. See, no words can adequately express the magnitude of God's love for each and every one of us. God is with us. He will continue to work with us, to direct us, to support us. When those around us throw up their hands in frustration or despair, the Lord does not. He sticks with us. And it's this realization that will help us through this year with the knowledge that because God is with us, we can face whatever we may face, cancer, illness, that we can face the losses that come in life, even when those losses are broken relationships, that you can face the stresses of a world gone crazy. I don't know about you, but it just seems like in this last couple of years, the world has gone absolutely nuts. Right? But here's the point. We don't have to worry about it. We just have to walk with God, and He will see us through. You can face the betrayal of those that you have trusted, if that's your experience. You can face the ridiculing and the meanness of others toward you because you are a believer and they aren't, if that's your portion. And you can even face your own death with confidence, should that be your portion this year. We do not know. Though others turn away, God will not. If you belong to Him, He has promised that no matter what comes along the way, that He is present. And we can say and know from the depths of our hearts, it is well, "It is well with my soul, come what may." Emmanuel, God is with us. He is not against us. He is for us. God is not detached. He is present and involved in our lives. We are not alone. He stands with us in the tough times of life. In the last book of the Bible, Revelation, not Revelations, there's one Revelation, we read these powerful words that are pointing us forward to a day yet to come. "And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.'" And we, at his feet, along with the six-winged seraph and cherubim, will cry, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord Most High." Amen. Father in heaven, in the stillness of this moment, we bow before you. Our hearts are so caught up in awe and wonder that you, the God of heaven, the creator of all of this universe, look down from heaven and you see us in our seat right where we are. You know everything there is to know about us, and you love us, and you wrap your arms around us, and you want to draw us close to yourself. And we pray for each and every person here in this room and within the sound of my voice by way of the internet. You know, Lord, the needs and the struggles of each and every one. Would you bring your strength and your comfort to each one? And as we face this year, we pray that you would help us to do so with the joyful knowledge of what it means to trust you with every circumstance of our lives and to know that you are present with us. Thank you, Father in heaven, for who you are, for your care for us, and for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.